To be honest, this is a dumb poll, and I've thought about talking about it on the air many, many times, and then I roll my eyes and I think, that is so corny, no one wants to talk about it.
Mm-hmm, but here
I,
you are.
But here I am, because it popped up in the news today. I go, maybe this is something that people like to talk about. Would you rather be too hot or too cold?
As far as temperature-wise goes, typically, well, I know the practical purpose is to say cold is the way to go, but I prefer to be hot, actually.
Really?
Well, you know what? I'm thinking of heat waves now. I guess I prefer to be cold, I guess.
See? So that's the whole thing, is our studios are never normal. It is like a shot in the dark if that happens. Mm-hmm. They are either freezing cold to the point where we like have to bring in winter coats and like mittens, or they're so sweltering hot that I'm down to like a tiny tank top and trying to just stay like cool and not move with all the lights off.
Yeah, you know, it's never a cool temperate like 70 to 75 in here.
Yeah.
It's never, no matter what the day is and no matter what the outside temperatures are, it's never there. You're right. It's a room of extremes.
And even when I'm outside, like I don't like being cold. I've got that thing with like my hands turn white. What's it called? Rheumatoid? What's it called?
I think you're thinking of bad circulation.
Yeah, but it has a name. I have the thing where like my hands, like I can't even move them. They get all white.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is that when it's too cold, at least I can somewhat function. When it's too hot, it's like I just want to lay on the floor
and
die.
That's the thing. I was thinking about that. I remember I went on a camping trip one time in a heat wave, and there was no shade to be had. And it was humid anyway, so there was no escaping it. It was the most miserable week of my life.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I still remember it to this day, and I would never camp in August again.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I was like on a mountaintop.
When I went to Disney World, I was 7 months pregnant, and it was the beginning of August.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember I would just cry. Mm-hmm. I was like, I couldn't even control it. I would just be standing there trying not to move, and the tears would be coming down. Mommy's having a good time. It's okay.
Yeah.
You guys go on the ride. Mommy's going to stay in the store.
Brutal.
Oh, it was awful. But they did a poll about this, and they said that 45% of people would rather be too hot, 55% would rather be too cold. It's kind of split down the middle. But ironically, older people, like anyone over 55 years old, says they'd rather be hot. And that's why everybody's always wearing sweaters after you reach a certain age.
Yeah. Do we turn into reptiles? Is it like a lizard on a heat lamp after that?
I think so. Why is it trending? Top three things that are trending over the weekend and why? Raven, why do you think Astroworld is trending?
Well, unfortunately, I'm aware.
Yep. Rapper Travis Scott hosted a festival called Astroworld in Houston. About 50,000 people were there. And the problem was is that they had this countdown clock, and people were so pumped up for Travis Scott to hit the stage that
sure.
30 minutes.
It's a big deal. Astroworld is always a big deal down there.
And as it got down, the crowds started pushing towards the front. Like, think about 50,000 people pushing their way to the front. And people were literally being crushed. They were crushed. At the end of the day, 8 passed away. And that includes a 14 and a 16-year-old. Hundreds needed medical help. And the music was blaring the whole time, but people could not understand the severity of the situation, what was happening.
Sure.
Here's Travis Scott talking about it afterwards.
I just want to send out prayers to the ones that was lost last night. My fans really mean the world to me, and I always just really want to leave them with a positive experience. And anytime I can make out, you know, anything that's going on, I stop the show and, you know, help them get the help they need, you know? I could just never imagine the severity of the situation.
Well, it's terrible.
I mean, that's scary. And honestly, you know, 50,000 people, while it is obviously a lot of people, it's honestly not an unbelievable amount of people for a concert. I mean, you go to a concert at a stadium, any stadium, it's usually upwards near 60,000, maybe 70,000 people. I mean, I've seen a crowd that's 250,000 people before, and that can be intimidating. That can be scary, and things can happen. 50,000 people, you think that most people can you know, maintain some sort of civility. But you're right. People surge from the back and push to the front, and they have no idea what's going on up front, and it's terrifying.
A lot of finger pointing. Is it his fault for not stopping the show? He says he didn't know the severity.
You know what? The fact is unfortunately, 8 people are gone. You know, finger painting, pointing and lawsuits and so forth, they don't bring people back. So hopefully lessons will be learned.
Next trending, Terry Bradshaw. Raven, why do you think Terry Bradshaw is trending?
Isn't he giving somebody a mouthful?
Oh, he sure is. So, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers had alluded that he had gotten the vaccine, but in reality, he said he was immunized.
Mm-hmm.
And he did get COVID, it turns out he had to come clean that he didn't actually get the vaccine. He did like a homeopathic Joe Rogan suggested
him
kind
of
thing.
Him and Shailene Woodley are really into that, you know, natural stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Terry Bradshaw let him have it last night.
One, I'd give Aaron Rodgers some advice. It would have been nice if he'd have just come to the Naval Academy and learned how to be honest. We're a divided nation on the COVID-19, whether or not to take the vaccine. And unfortunately, we've got players that pretty much think only about themselves. And I'm extremely disappointed in the actions of Aaron Rodgers.
Terry Bradshaw. I mean, Terry Bradshaw has known a lot of things over his lifetime. He should maybe, I don't know, but whatever.
Of course, SNL had to give it the royal treatment.
I'm sure.
With Pete Davidson as Aaron Rodgers.
That's great.
And you said you didn't get the vaccine because it might make you sterile.
Hey, and look, people can talk all they want, but at the end of the day, my record is still 7-1, meaning of the 8 people I've infected, 7 are fine.
And the last thing that was trending over the weekend, big deal, Big Bird. Not even Big Bird is without controversy today. Do you know why, Raven?
I have no idea. I can assure you that.
Big Bird tweeted, I got the COVID-19 vaccine today. My wing is feeling a little sore, but it'll give my body an extra protective boost that keeps me healthy and others healthy. And then conservatives like Ted Cruz went nuts, calling it propaganda, and it became everybody attacking Big Bird on Twitter, which was the one weird thing I certainly did not see coming this weekend.
Big Bird didn't make that decision for himself. His advisors made that decision for him.
Do you think Big Bird called Joe Rogan for advice too? Probably not, right? I mean,
anything is possible nowadays.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You see people doing questionable things all the time. You're not supposed to judge them, but you do.
Sure.
Yep.
Of course.
Even though you don't know anything about them, you look at them and you say, yep, that is all I need to know about you.
Human nature.
1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you follow and unfollow people on social media, depending on whether you're mad at them that day, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah. I also love the people that do the veiled messages on social media at people that they're mad at. I mean, if you're mad at somebody and you're talking about it on social media and you want people to solve the puzzle, why don't you just tell them the name?
I don't know.
I mean, just be a grown-up about it.
I just read how, like, Kanye West has unfollowed and then followed Kim Kardashian twice in the last month.
Well,
and then he, like, said a couple months ago in an interview he wanted to get back with her, but now he's dating a 22-year-old, so he unfollowed her, and then she's with Pete Davidson now, reportedly, so he unfollowed her, but then he followed her again. I just don't understand. Mm. Like, so I know a situation of somebody who does this mm-hmm. all the time.
Sure.
And I always think to myself, am I supposed to be checking if they're following me or unfollowing me to see where we stand at that point in time?
I mean, I would just think to myself, why would you care?
But
if there's somebody that's that finicky about it, like, why would you care? Just let them go.
It sounds so odd to me. Because here's the truth of the matter. I'm never going to realize that you unfollowed me, never in a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to go look to see it.
Maybe you say something that drives them so nuts. Maybe you are the nails on the chalkboard for them.
Apparently.
Your helpful post about parenting and fun things that you're doing that day is really just disparaging their whole soul.
Raven, if I unfollowed you and you mm-hmm. went from 6 followers to 5.
I would have no idea whatsoever. You know, it would take me a year to find out.
Right,
if
true.
Somebody told me, I'd be like, that's not true. But I would be hurt at that point. I mean, I'm so riveting on social media. I'm so riveting. If you don't do the head nod or the hello or the anything, the acknowledgement as you pass people like on a pathway. Yesterday, enjoying the weather out, walking the dogs and just, you know, some paths that we didn't go. We walked through the old neighborhood, which is, you know, something we like to do every once in a while. And there's a lot of people on this path. It's a popular walking area. And the amount of people that just stare at the ground, like, you're looking at me I can see you looking at me the entire time you're approaching. And then in the last 20 yards, you just make sure that you stare at your feet there so you don't have to say hello. People are awkward.
So say
hi.
People are just socially awkward, period.
They are socially awkward.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that I always have, like, a smile. I'm like, hi.
Yeah.
Hi.
Like, I'm anxious to say hello.
Yellow.
And I also feel weird about that, to be true. You know, to be truthful, I feel weird about that, too. But I'm still that person. It's like by the third person that doesn't say hello, you're like, what is going on here?
Maybe it's you, Raven.
Maybe it is me. But I'm typically, my little tiny dog would soften the blow on that. You know, and they'd be like, oh, they at least say hello to the dog.
That's because they can hear you coming 7 miles away. Hide from that man.
I guess.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you get mad that I won't snuggle with you after you get home from the gym and you're all sweaty and grungy, that's all I need to know.
Well, who wants to cuddle after the gym anyways? That is gross.
I don't want anyone to touch me when I'm sweaty, ever.
Spray me off.
Oh, I smell.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you got to scrape it off of me if I actually worked out. Forget it.
Yeah, you're right. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Have you ever seen someone famous in the bathroom? 1-800-330-9999. Do you acknowledge them? Do you say, oh my gosh, you're so-and-so? Do you ask for a bathroom selfie? Like, what happened in that situation?
Do you wait till they're washing their hands? I mean, it's just all awkward, right?
So Ed Sheeran was on Dax Shepard's little podcast, and he said this when he was asked about going to the bathroom in public.
Well, my rule usually is I don't go to urinals. There'll be 20 urinals, and I'll stand at an end one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And someone will come and stand right next to me just to have a look.
Right, because I feel like if you're famous and you're in the bathroom, all eyes are on you, and it's the most uncomfortable situation.
Are they keeping the eyes upward? What are they looking at?
Well, that's
I mean, you
kind of
want to measure yourself against a celebrity, I guess, right? You want to say, well, he may be rich and have all the money, but I'm still doing fine in another category. Seems immature, but human.
That's exactly what he said. He said there could be 20 urinals and the person will come up and stand right next to me. And I understand that curiosity and that awkwardness.
You do, huh?
I don't know. It's interesting, right? Hi, it's Anna on Raven. You met somebody famous in a bathroom?
I was at an event for the Warrens, the paranormal investigators, and I went to the bathroom and Dave Navarro was in there.
Oh, yeah?
And it took me a second. I looked at him and I was like, holy crap, Dave Grohl's in here. And then I was like, wait a minute, that's not Dave Grohl.
Right. I got a little confused.
Right, Dave Navarro is a very distinct-looking character. The tattoos, the hair, the eye makeup, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, did you have a conversation with him? Did you say, hey, Dave Navarro, you're awesome?
Yeah, he ended up being real cool. He had to sign an autograph and took a picture of my wife. He was real cool.
Wait a minute.
With your picture with your wife.
I was going to say, he didn't sign the autographs. He had to take the picture with your wife in the men's room.
Not in the men's room.
I'll make you feel better. One time I accidentally called Missy Elliott Queen Latifah.
Oh, no!
That was...
Oh, no! Man.
I was young and I was stupid. I was 17 years old in a garage in New York City.
You're lucky you didn't get beat up.
Oh, no. She called me She called me something not flattering that I deserved. Yeah. That 100% I deserved. I was just so excited. I was so excited.
You were so excited to meet Queen Latifah or Missy Elliott.
Either
anybody.
Of them, right.
Anybody famous.
I'll never live that down. Never.
Thanks for the call.
Oh my God.
Do you ever meet anybody famous in a bathroom, Raven?
First celebrity I actually ever met. So it's 1,000 years ago. I'm working at Six Flags Magic Mountain in L.A. And the first celebrity I met, I used to work at the restaurant, and right behind was the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. It was like out of the way bathroom. So not in the regular concourse. And I went in there and I met this like B-C-list actor, Branscombe Richmond, who was in this show at the time on USA called Renegade with Lorenzo Lamas and was like in the Steven Seagal movies, all this stuff. He was actually in Forgetting Sarah Marshall and whatnot. He was the bartender in that punches him in the face for stealing the photo.
Okay.
And he's in there and he's like all incognito, like in the corner. And I'm like, hey, man, you're that guy. He's like, I am that guy. And I'm just starstruck just meeting my first celebrity, period. And
right.
I'm like, you know, we got security that can take you around. He's like, no, man, I'm just here to meet my family. I was like, well, in here? He's like, yeah, I'm just ducking in here until after. Was a big deal to me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was awkward for him, too, because I was like treating him like he was Michael Jackson. Like he needed some sort of security escort where nobody would really recognize the guy. But, you know, hey.
For years, my first big celebrity bathroom encounter was very awkward.
Yeah.
Because she left a mess in the bathroom. And I never wanted to, like, because it was disgusting. It was awful.
You didn't even want to tell that story.
I didn't want to tell it because it was so nasty. But I will, because I have now. It's coming up next. But 1-800-330-9999. Did you ever see anybody famous in the bathroom? What'd you say? You ever meet anybody famous in a bathroom? Like, what do? Do you approach them? Do you ask for a bathroom selfie? Do you shake their hand?
Hey, what up? I think I'm going to rinse first.
Yeah. Ed Sheeran said this in an interview.
Well, my rule usually is I don't go to urinals. There'll be 20 urinals and I'll stand at an end one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And someone will come and stand right next to me just to have a look.
I believe it. Of
he's
course.
Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
You know, he's really, really, really famous. And again, if he's doing really well in life, I want to know that there's at least one area that I can, you know, equal out with Ed Sheeran.
Got it. Yeah. I remember one time there was an arena and they had... advertisements for our show. Mm-hmm. And they didn't tell us that they were putting them in the bathroom. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And I remember going into the stall, closing the stall, and seeing my face. And I was humiliated.
Staring back at you.
Right. I go,
so awkward.
I'm in every toilet. I'm in every toilet in this arena right now.
It was great placement. I did appreciate the placement. I hope we're still up in that arena in some of those toilets. But, you know, it was off-putting the first time. Yeah.
The only time I ever met anybody famous in a bathroom, I didn't actually meet her. I was at a wedding, and they had sat us at the same table, and it was and I'll just come out and say it at this point.
Yeah, say it.
It was the Real Housewives, Teresa Giudice from the Housewives in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting at the same table, and I had interviewed her a couple times in the past, and she could care less about me.
That you even existed.
No.
That you were even there. Yeah, that any of it was really happening around you.
No, she was like all into selfies and posting to her Instagram and whatever. Like, you don't have to talk to me just because, like, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Sure.
But we go into the bathroom and she's in front of me in line and she goes into the stall. And now she does have a full zip-up jump bodysuit on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking in my head, oh, she's got to do that thing where she gets naked in the stall with it, you know?
Yeah.
And she goes in and then she comes out and I go in after her and I go, oh my God. And I look. And she left a mess. She left a mess in the bathroom. And now,
this is shocking to you.
I was horrified.
Right.
Because I think, like, I'm always so petrified that I'm going to go into a bathroom and, gosh forbid, something like that should happen. Then the people next to me are going to talk like, you know that girl from the radio?
Right.
And Teresa Giudice is 100 times more famous than I'll ever be.
She's a sprinkler.
All right. Now, in her defense,
yeah.
Who knows if it was the person before her.
Could have been.
Yeah, who knows? But I have, because of that situation and how horrified I was that she could have possibly have done that, every time I go into a public bathroom and I open it and I see that it's there, I won't use that stall. I will not be seen coming out of a stall, or I'll clean it, which is so nasty.
So, I mean, she didn't say anything about it, though. She didn't indicate when she came out. She's like, oh, girl, that one is terrible.
No,
she didn't. None of that.
None of that.
And you would think that, you know, maybe she would have.
Yep.
Because you wouldn't want anybody to perceive that it was you.
No, right? Wouldn't you? Like,
yeah.
Right?
It's a little bit uncomfortable.
All eyes are on you. Yeah. People know who you are at that point, right?
Right, they're judging you.
Yeah.
They're judging your stall work.
Yeah, exactly. All it did was make me so paranoid about using public bathrooms.
I just have to ask, I mean, was it the only stall in the bathroom?
No.
Or could you have taken other options? Or the line formed behind that one and you just wanted to use a famous person's?
No, it's like the way the cookie crumbled. It was like a wedding hall with there were like maybe three or four stalls lined up next to each other. She went in, I waited my turn, she came out, I went in there. And ta-da!
Yeah.
There it was. Yeah.
Yeah, big mess.
It was.
Last time I was in, same thing. When I worked at Six Flags Magic Mountain, that was where I met my first celebrity in a bathroom. I'll never forget, maybe a year or two after that, Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston came in.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a big deal. Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston are in your bathroom. And I went in the bathroom. I didn't meet him there. But it sounded like he had the sniffles, and he was in there for a long time in that stall.
I think we get it.
Was uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Five calls says it all. 1-800-330-9999. You're going to decide, can you claim a parking spot at work that doesn't have your name on it in a public parking lot?
Here's what happened, all right? We used to have, we have a very large parking lot around a large building that doesn't have a lot of tenants currently at this time. So for the most part, we get our pick of parking. And the other thing is, we're here, you know, earlier than basically everybody else. There's maybe a dozen of us here that early in the morning. So we used to park on either sides of the parking lot. They would get their preferred spots. We would get our preferred spots. Then they started construction, made us all move to the back while they redid the lobby. Now, when we went to the back, Anna, where did we park? We didn't park in the spots that other people that park here do.
No.
Because we gave them the courtesy, because we said, this is where you typically park. This is your domain. We'll go to the second row. Now, they flipped the script here. They're working on the back side of the lobby. The front side of the lobby's back open, which means we're back in our area, Anna Zapp.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Nobody's respecting our spaces. Everybody is parking where you and I were always the designated parkers.
So here's the problem, is that
I've had enough.
Raven gets really worked up about this. And is it annoying? Like, sure. Like, I've been parking in that same spot for a decade, you know? And for 6 months, they've had construction. And so I haven't parked in my spot. And I kind of just parked wherever it was open.
You were excited to get back to your spot, weren't you?
I was really. I mean, like.
Don't act like you weren't.
For 10 years, I parked in that spot. Like, you know, like, of course it means something to me. It's like the first spot when you walk in. Like, uh-huh. It was my spot.
To you, it's the perfect choice for your vehicle.
Right. I don't get here first thing anymore. Now I probably get here, like, I'm probably like maybe the 10th person to get here.
Something like that.
And people park in our spot. Now, Raven is so furious that he wants to, like, send out this mass email being like, respect our spots, stop parking in our spots. But the truth of the matter is like, it's a public parking lot in our building. Like, there's no names on them. They get here earlier. Like, as much as it pains me inside, they could park in our spots. They're not our spots.
Here's the thing. I think a couple of them are getting here earlier on purpose.
Oh, really?
Because I still get here super early, all right? Mm-hmm. And I would always leave your spot open and then park next to your spot. Why? That's just a courtesy that I give to you.
It's respect. It's a respect
thing. That's right. It's exactly right. And now there's no respect coming from that way whatsoever. Furthermore, somebody went to the store the other day. So you got my spot.
Yeah.
You got my spot in the parking lot because somebody went to the store after they had already come here originally and they complained to me about it in the hallway.
Yeah.
And I nearly went volcano.
Right.
I nearly was like, wait a minute, what?
But then when she found out that it was my car, she got real quiet.
That's right. That's right. She ain't going to put it there again. I'm betting you.
I understand that this is probably difficult to follow, but essentially what we're asking you, Five Calls Says It All, 1-800-330-9999, is can you actually claim a spot at work if it's a public parking lot? Like, there's no name, there's no number.
Hey, this is private property.
Uh-huh.
All right.
What do you do at work? Do you have your own spot and would you get upset if somebody parked in it? Again, that's 1-800-330-9999. We'll take the first five calls. Five Calls Says It All. 1-800-330-9999. Can you claim a parking spot at work? For years, Raven and I have parked in the exact same two spots here at the studio. Well, they're doing construction now. They closed off half the lot and now our coworkers are parking in our spots. Raven wants to confront them. I say we can't because they're not technically our spots. What do you think? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I 100% think so. It's like back in school when you had the desk that you would sit at. If someone took your desk, it would just throw off the whole vibe of the room. It's common courtesy.
And everybody knew. So it was like a seismic shift if somebody did that. Like, nothing would be right. Anything could happen at that point. You're exactly right. Thank you for being realistic about this. Thank you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Five Calls Says It All. What do you think? Can you claim a spot that doesn't really belong to you?
Well, here's the situation. I worked at a factory long, long time ago. I didn't really know there was really kind of spots like the spots you're saying. No one had numbers on them. There was nothing on them. One time I got back from lunch, and this guy comes out. He starts yelling. I said, what goes on? He goes, well, that's my spot. I said, I didn't know it. He literally threatened me, like bodily harm, if I didn't move my car at that point.
Yep. But then after that, you learned to respect.
Right.
After that,
Raven would like to threaten people.
I mean, right.
I'm just trying to keep the peace in the building.
He told other people. He told other people about it too. He made a big stink over, you know, oh, Jim did this. Or,
Yeah, no, I'm not going to threaten anybody. I just wish that they were better people.
Yeah.
I just wish that they were better people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
And Ann Raven, Five Calls Says It All. Can you claim a parking space at work for your own?
Hello, yeah. So I want to just say, first of all, I love you guys. And then about the question, I think that's ridiculous if some people think that's my spot forever. That's a public parking. And that's the really childish way to think about it.
Well, I'm a terrible person, but I do prefer where it is that I park.
Raven is so mad that
somebody
disagrees
your opinion.
With him.
Thank you for your opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do? Like, there's nothing you can do. You have to brush it off.
So you're just going to live in sadness the rest of your life and instead of, you know, letting me handle it, you're happy to let me handle it.
Well,
don't act like you're not.
Let you be the crazy person, me.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. And on Raven, Five Calls Says It All. What do you think? Can you claim a spot that doesn't really belong to anybody?
You can't if you're not assigned spots by your employer or the building. But in my instance, I get in early than other people, like an hour early, and the parking lot is like totally empty. And I had a coworker that after a year that I've been parking in the same spot all of a sudden just starts to take that spot.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right, so,
you know, no, if you don't have the signed spot, you cannot.
So legally, you understand the legality of the situation, but on the other hand, you hate it, and you are willing to maybe file a complaint against somebody.
HR.
No.
HR.
Maybe with the town and ordinance. It's harassment.
I contemplated going to work early just to get my spot
right.
back.
No, and I believe that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
And on Raven, 5 calls says it all. Can you claim a spot that's not yours?
Oh, absolutely. I've been parking in the same spot for 7 years. This new guy all of a sudden thinks he's got the right to park in my spot.
I get what you're saying, man. It's serious mm-hmm. work. Anybody who thinks that they don't have a reserved spot at work, Anna, I don't know who that person is. Will you just park somewhere else every single day? That's crazy.
That's what people do.
No, that's what you do when you're going to the mall.
I mean,
all right? That's not what you do when you're going to work.
Yeah.
And if I worked at the mall,
yeah.
by the way, I'd have an assigned spot there, too, even if it didn't have my name on it.
There's no way you can have an assigned spot at the mall.
No,
you can't.
I would.
You work at a strip mall, you're going to reserve a spot. Unless it says reserve for then the store that you work at, you can't do that.
No, I'm going to have it. Trust me when I tell you.
Cost of food is up. Cost of everything is up. All you hear about is inflation. You can't get things. There's a supply chain issue. It's in a crate over the ocean somewhere like that.
I'm telling you, I went to another store this weekend, Anna. They also had no shoes.
Yeah.
They had no shoes, and vacuum technology has taken a step backward. Every time I mention inflation to my wife, she gets so furious.
Well, it became viral over the weekend talking about milk, the milk prices. And I've noticed this too, is that milk prices have gone up a lot. The average price of a U.S. gallon of milk is now $3.59 a gallon. And I'll tell you, I've certainly paid a lot more than that. I have a toddler, Dakota. That girl drinks a lot of milk.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize, like, I'm spending so much money in milk. But this video went viral of this family after the mom said this.
We started seeing everything going up. Grocery prices went up. Gallon of milk was $1.99. Now it's $2.79. Well, when you buy 12 gallons a week times 4 weeks, you know, that's a lot of money.
Well, Brad,
what?
Yeah. I mean,
wait, what?
Brad,
12 gallons? You drink 12 gallons of milk
a week?
That
seems like a lot, right?
That's a lot of milk.
That's a lot of milk.
That's all they do is just drink milk in that house.
You know, I used to drink a lot more milk when I was younger. Now I don't drink as much of it as I used to.
Mm.
If I'm not, as a matter of fact, if I'm not drinking it with cereal, if I'm not eating it with cereal,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not drinking it with, like, I don't know, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm not going for it at all usually.
What this woman doesn't realize with her 12 gallons of milk a week is that she's getting a deal at $2.79. So I did some math, and it took me a while because you know that I'm not great at math.
It's your strong suit, 100%.
If you have 12 gallons of milk a week at $2.79 a gallon, that means you are drinking $33.48 a week in milk, and then in a month, it's $133.92.
I love that you have done the math ahead of time. You have it written in front of you, and yet you're speaking so slowly. It's like you're walking through a minefield. Like, I mean, you have it written in front of you and you're still making statements like it's a question.
So what I did is I set out to find out, should you buy a cow?
Right, good.
It makes the most sense.
Good idea.
At this point.
Solid investment.
If you're spending $135 a month in milk, which I bet you, I'm probably spending, well, maybe not that much, but a good amount, half of that in milk. Is it worth it? So I did some research here.
What did you come up with?
On average, a cow will produce 6 to 7 gallons of milk a day.
Uh-huh.
So that seems like a lot of milk.
That's pretty good.
That's milk for you, and you can give milk to all your neighbors and sell it, too.
Yeah, with some sort of legalities, I'm guessing there might be involved there, but okay.
But
right.
The average cost of a cow can be between $2,000 and $5,000, which is a significant investment. Unless you want to buy a baby cow, a calf.
Yeah.
If you buy a baby calf that's only a day old, it only costs $40 to $50, but they have a high mortality rate, so you got to roll those dice, and it makes me sad.
You don't want to be there for a cow passing.
No!
The other thing is, you know, your initial investment on the cow is one thing, but then you're going to have to feed it, house it, care for it, all that.
They eat 100 pounds each day.
Oh, my gosh!
Each cow of hay, grain, and protein, such as soy bean meal. I don't know how much that costs.
I mean, when you put it like that,
Right.
I mean, the gallon of milk kind of sounds like a bargain, even with your terrible math.
I wanted to do the math to figure out over a year how much it would cost, but I didn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, so, it started to hurt and you quit.
And then I got really confused by the whole thing, and I said, I'm just going to buy the gallon of milk, and I'm not going to buy 12 gallons a week, and we're gonna wrap this up like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jeff and Monica. Monica, what's going on?
Every year we have a Halloween party. It's a big deal. We have lots of fun. We put on the invitation that it's mandatory for everyone to wear a Halloween costume. And everyone gets into it, dresses up and everything. But then this year, one of our kids' friends, they came. They dressed up. It was so cute. But then the parents did not dress up. Just looking like them on a Tuesday. Jeff wanted to stick with the rules and ask them to leave, but they were basically kicked out of the party. I was feeling bad later on, like, maybe we should just let them stay. And Jeff says no, he doesn't think he should apologize, but I think he should at least call and say, hey, sorry for kicking you out of the party. I mean, it was Halloween.
What did they say, Jeff, when you told them that they had to leave the party because they weren't wearing a costume? I am fascinated by this.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's not doing it justice. You know, the rules are the rules. We said everybody had to wear a costume. They show up. They knew that. They read the invitation. Their daughter was dressed up, but they weren't. I kicked them out. You could tell they were a little miffed. They really didn't want to leave their daughter there, but they did. I mean, she's old enough to stay by herself. The kids are, you know, they're teenagers, so there you go. But rules are rules. That's why we have, like, the banging Halloween party of the year. Everybody wants to come because everybody sticks to it. I just thought, you know, you're not going to walk around without a costume. You know, we're not going to be John and Doreen every day Tuesday.
But but did you say, you sent invitations, correct?
Yeah, I sent invitations, and I that's what I said. I said, look, you know, it's on the invitation right there. Everybody dresses. And I was trying to be comical because I was, you know, Frankenstein. I was like, you must wear a costume. If not, you got to leave. Leave. You know, so I was doing it that way.
But wait a minute. But on the invitation, you said parents too, right?
Everyone. It is mandatory costume. Kids, parents, everyone.
All right, because I think if you get invited to a Halloween party, you don't know the people that well, you assume the kids are wearing costumes, but the parents don't.
I mean, if it says it on there and they come in violation of that, I mean, I actually don't feel bad for them at all. I mean, they left their daughter there. She got to have a good time at the party because she followed the rules. And frankly, you know, lesson learned. If you have people that show up and you let them not wear costumes, it removes the theater of the whole thing. Changes the attitude for you and your guests in plenty of ways, all right? And then, you know, it's two people this year. Guess what? Next year it's going to be four. Next year it's going to be six because people are going to go, oh, really? And then you're the jerk if you draw the line in the sand the next year. I mean, if this is the big party and it says on the invites, I'm kind of on his side.
Right.
If I'm a parent that's asked to leave a party because I'm not wearing a costume and I leave my child there, like, I am going to talk smack about you forever. Like, how do you kick adults out of a party that, like, you know the children? You don't know them right?
They're the ones that should be embarrassed, not you.
Let's see what the audience has to say. Was Jeff wrong for kicking these parents out of their Halloween party because they didn't follow the rules? Or maybe he has a point. If he clearly said on the invitation that adults, everybody wears a costume and they didn't follow the rules, then you know what? They asked for it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Jeff and Monica had a Halloween party. They have a big one every year. And it says right on the invitation, you must come in costume or you'll be asked to leave, basically. It's like a mandatory thing. Well, a couple shows up with their child who's friends with one of their kids. The kid's in costume, but mom and dad aren't. Jeff refuses entry. He says, nope, the rule is you wear a costume or you don't come in. Monica is embarrassed by it and says that it wasn't right for him to kick them out. They barely know these people. It's their daughter's friend.
She thinks that he needs to call and apologize or whatever. But the fact is, again, the invitation is very clear. It's their party. It's their rules. Either adhere to those rules or you're not coming in.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I am actually on the homeowner side who had the party. He was very clear and transparent about everything he expected. And actually, in this day and age, I think it was a good example for his daughter. For her daughter or the couple's daughter, because everybody's always into this is my right, it's my rule. It's not. It's what everybody asked for, and it was his house, his rules, and they could have just stayed home, and that could have been their right to stay home.
You know, we're making it sound like they were dragged out of a party. They got refused entry at the front door. They weren't kicked out of a party. They showed up. They didn't follow the rules, and they were asked to leave.
I think they just probably didn't fully understand. I find it hard to believe that they were just made the conscious effort to defy the rule of the invitation.
Really? I mean, I guess they just don't read then.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Jeff and Monica had a Halloween party last weekend, and it was great, except one thing. On the invitation, it very clearly says that costumes are mandatory for everyone. Well, one of their children's friends showed up with her parents, and the parents weren't wearing a costume, and Jeff turned them away at the door. Monica is humiliated and wants Jeff to call and apologize.
Jeff says, no way. These are the rules. We've spelled them out before. There's a reason why our party is better than everybody else's. I want you to imagine the last time you went to a wedding, Anna, and you saw the guy that showed up in cargo shorts, sneakers, and a button-down shirt. Like, I mean, he doesn't belong there, and you're taking away from something else. Now, imagine that person is in the wedding party, and they're going to be in all the photos or whatever. You know, for some people, their Halloween party, it's their Super Bowl party, right? They put a lot of effort in.
Yeah, but they didn't know these people. Like, these people were probably confused and didn't fully understand. And,
I guess they didn't read.
I would just say, if, like, my kid was going to a Halloween party, I wouldn't think that I also had to get dressed. Like, I would just say, oh, here's the invitation,
I mean,
okay?
Again, do you let your child tell you where to be dropped off? I mean, they had to read the invitation to know where they were going, didn't they?
I don't know. I think it's a lot to kick somebody out. But whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Definitely his side. I totally agree with him. It's definitely frustrating when, you know, you make your rules and you try so hard for everything to be so nice and everyone to follow the rules, and then somebody decides to be the party. Sorry for my language. It ruins the mood. It's like, serious.
Yes, no, I get what you're saying. Thank you. Everybody thinks that they're special, Anna. That's the thing that bothers me, is everybody thinks that they're the exception. And you're not the exception. Like, you're supposed to be going to celebrate together.
But I guess, I don't know. I went to a Halloween party. Remember the first year the neighbors had the party that I thought was a swingers party? And we just wore, like, very modest costumes. But we didn't understand that it was, like, all out.
But you wore a costume.
Like, we wore a hat. I think we wore a hat.
But you wore a costume.
And they didn't kick us out.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
Listen, I'm on his side. My brother used to have a huge party, but the stipulation was, if you came without a mask or a costume, you had to wear a booby prize. So people who didn't come had to wear a silly costume that my brother made them wear. One year he had big bubble butts, and they had to walk around with bubble butts. So that might be something he puts on his invitation next year.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on your side, Anna. That was incredibly rude, and they should have offered them costumes. I'm sure they had a lot of stuff lying around. I would have been mortified, taken my child, and left. I'm on your side. Totally rude.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jeff, our audience agreed with you today. It was spelled out in the invitation and they didn't follow it. Then Monica, he doesn't owe them an apology.
Monica, I think the exception is if there's an emergency, if something happened, if their car broke down or something like that on the side of the road, then that's one thing. But other than that, I mean, they just disrespected your wishes.
Thank you very much for agreeing with me. They were Klingons. We're just getting rid of them.
Well, I mean, if they came as Klingons, they would have been welcomed in.
No, you know what I mean. You know what
yes,
I mean.
Yes, I know.
They were there, but they didn't follow the rules. So.
Monica, you going to be all right?
Yeah. I mean, they probably won't come back, but that's okay. Because, you know,
I would definitely
a lot of other people
back.
Who come to the party every year.
Right. And that's two more people off the list. You can invite two others. And guess what? They'll follow the rules. They might not ever come back, but they're going to think about it. They're going to regret it for a lifetime.
You have a problem, too? Send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Thanks to HelloFresh, the Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is up to $100. This holiday season, let HelloFresh send you everything you need to make a delicious meal in about 30 minutes. Get 14 free meals plus 3 free gifts during their Black Friday sale with code ANNA14 at HelloFresh.com/ANNA14. All right, Jill, are you ready to play?
Definitely.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jill.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Raven's out of here. When that door closes, you can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven, but you beat them, $100. You ready to play?
Definitely.
Number one, Billy Crystal says his biggest career regret was turning down the role to voice Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story. What's the name of the cowgirl doll in Toy Story?
Jessie.
Number two, Britney Spears was spotted taking her sons to an immersive Van Gogh exhibit in L.A. What's the name of one of his most famous paintings that depicts the view from his window of his asylum room right before sunrise?
Starry Night.
Number three, the three toys that have been inducted into the National Hall of Fame this year include Sand, the game Risk, and the 18-inch doll that portrays girls from different faiths, social classes, and different periods in history. What doll is that?
American Girl dolls.
Number four, Emilio Estevez will not be returning for the second season of the series Mighty Ducks Game Changers because of their COVID vaccine mandate. What streaming service hosts the series?
Disney Plus.
At number five, Carrie Underwood was supposed to release a comedic holiday song on Friday called Stretchy Pants. People prepaid for it, then just as quickly as it appeared, it disappeared, as if it was like never there. Who was the runner-up to Carrie Underwood on season four of American Idol when she won? Give me a guess.
Fantasia?
Oh, okay. Man, you were good and you were fast, Jill. Let me bring Raven back in. Jill got 4 out of 5.
Pretty impressive, Jill. Let's see how I do.
Yeah. Number one, Billy Crystal says his biggest career regret was turning down the role to voice Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story. What's the name of the cowgirl doll in Toy Story?
Jessie.
Yes. Number two, Britney Spears was spotted taking her sons to an immersive Van Gogh exhibit in L.A. What's the name of one of his most famous paintings that depicts the view from his window of his asylum room right before sunrise?
That's Starry Night.
Yes. Number three, the three toys that have been inducted into the National Hall of Fame this year include Sand, the game Risk, and the 18-inch doll that portrays girls from different faiths, social classes, and different periods in history. What doll is that?
Isn't that the American Girl doll?
Yes.
What's up? Sand.
Sand. Like sand. Like sand from a sandbox, at the beach.
I
made
like
it.
Sand would have been in there day one. Why did it have to wait?
I don't understand.
I mean, if sand was going to make it, why did sand have to wait? All right.
Number four, Emilio Estevez will not be returning for the second season of the series Mighty Ducks Game Changers because of their COVID vaccine mandate.
I heard that.
What streaming service hosts the series?
That's Disney Plus, right?
Yes, you guys are tied at four. Number five, Carrie Underwood was supposed to release a comedic holiday song on Friday called Stretchy Pants. People prepaid for it, and then it disappeared just as quickly as it appeared. It was like it was never there.
Oh.
Who was the runner-up to Carrie Underwood on season four of American Idol when she won?
Clay Aiken, right?
No, it was Bo Bice.
Oh, yeah, Bo Bice. Oh, poor Bo Bice. I wonder what he's doing now.
I know. You are so relieved right now that you tied her at four. Jill, that does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt. You were so great.
Thank you.
That and $5 will get you and Bo Bice a coffee. No, enjoy that shirt, girl. Good game.
Yeah,
thanks for playing. We'll play again.
It's Jill, and I can't beat Raven.
Put another $100 in the jackpot tomorrow. Same time, your chance at $200. I want to be mad about it. But I wonder if it's, is it me? Or is there something wrong with everybody else?
No, it's the world that's skewed, really. We're off kilter. We're off base. We're not level.
What is happening to me? I feel like I'm falling apart lately. So about 2 weeks ago, I get a parking ticket, a double parking ticket, because and I'm furious because I know I paid the meter. And usually, like, I don't pay the meter. I roll those dice.
Yeah, this is Anna's policy over the last 2 years. Completely reckless, which, by the way, I mean, Anna is a rule follower. She she will typically follow any rule that's out there. But over the last 2 years, some reason, you have strangely decided that Anna doesn't pay parking fees. So, she won't pay the meter. She'll roll the dice. She figures she doesn't get a ticket, you know, all that often. So she makes out.
Right. But if I get a ticket, I pay it. Like, that's my rule. Anyway, that's not what's up for debate.
No, that's
right
the
now.
Law, not a rule. But
anyway,
okay.
I get a parking ticket, not because I didn't pay the meter, because I parked over the line. And I was like, come on. I didn't even know you could get a ticket for being double parked. I had no idea that was a real thing. And I've noticed lately that for some reason, when I park my car, more often than not, I'm over the line. Like, I don't know what the problem is. My car is pretty high tech. It does all the things where it shows you that you're in the lines.
Sure.
But for some reason, my brain has shut off its ability to know how to park a car.
I mean, you're ignoring it. That's the simple fact of it is you're ignoring it.
So I get that ticket. And now I'm the person, like, when I get out, if it's, like, pretty bad, if it's more than, like, 3 inches, I'll get back in the car and I'll fix it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm embarrassed. I don't, it's not something I strive to do, you know? But the other day, I come out of a doctor's appointment and there is a note on my car. And it's right, like, it's like where my, like on my window.
It's tucked in your windshield.
My window, yeah.
Yeah.
And it says, attention, you parked like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked at it and I was like,
I mean, I haven't seen one of those notes since like the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, where'd they get that? What store did they find that at?
It's like a real one. Like, it's like it must have come like in a pad and then you like, you know, you peel it off.
So
and
this
you,
person
like,
just walks around and puts these notes on people's cars?
And my first like reaction was, loser, you're a loser. You have nothing, nothing better to do with your time.
But then you look at your car.
And then I look at my car and I'm like, well, I mean, like, I'm in the lines, but I'm like 2 feet not close enough to the curb. So my butt is sticking out of the spot a little bit. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, I didn't even realize when I got out of the car that I wasn't fully in the spot. And then I'm like, I can't even blame this guy or girl or whoever did it for putting it on my windshield because I'm parked like an idiot.
May have done us all a favor. May have helped the world.
So I don't really know what I'm supposed to do about it, but I figure like there has to be a reason why all this is happening. So what I've done is I've asked a driving school to come in over the next couple days and one, talk about the proper parking techniques across the board so we can kind of get that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot of other people are having trouble with it, but okay.
Everybody's having this problem.
All right, we'll clarify.
Yep. And two, give me a parking and driving test and see if there's something wrong with me or if there's something wrong with the lines on the cement where the parking spots are painted.
Clearly. It's a 50-50 shot. We have no idea.
Yeah. Tomorrow, same time. It's a hot debate that we've been having behind the scenes here, and I'm excited to get an expert's view on it. Cher Gottman is the New York City wingwoman. That's it. She's a professional dating coach. You can visit her online at nycwingwoman.com. Raven doesn't understand why Pete Davidson is hot.
What I'm saying is that I'm sure he's a nice enough guy, but everybody all of a sudden is like, oh, he's so hot. Like, come on. Where were you a decade ago?
You know, there's something about him. He is funny, but also he has this quirky personality where he's just authentic and he's not afraid to put it all out there, laugh at himself, and just truly be who he is. And that is so attractive. We're ready for someone real in our life. We want that. And everyone, when they move to Hollywood, a lot of people feel like they have to be this special person or get Botox or buff up in the gym. But in reality, girls just want someone who makes them laugh, who aren't afraid to really be themselves. And that's Pete Davidson right there.
It amazes me lately, Anna. I'm thinking to myself, SNL is not a place where people actually come for comedy. It's where the comics come to meet chicks. This is what's been going on. Look, Colin Jost and Scarlett Johansson, Pete Davidson. It all started with Ariana Grande. She comes over, she does the show. And I feel like that guy's been failing up ever since.
All right, now he's supposedly, allegedly dating Kim Kardashian, which is like the reason why everybody's been talking about
it. We don't give up a patio on Staten Island on a rooftop for nothing. Yeah. He had to pay some bucks. Something's going on there.
But do you think, Cher, that there's like for the typical... I don't know. How do I say this nicely without sounding like a complete jerk? If you are not classically attractive, right?
Jerk.
Well, you know what I mean. What can you do to be attractive to somebody that you're interested in?
You know, looks only get you so far. I've seen it with my clients, too. You know, sometimes I'll get a guy who's so attractive who will come in and want to work with me because they're like, I am doing terrible with dating. And then we meet these guys who are total average Joes who are getting these amazing girls. And they're doing it because they're making girls feel a special way. We might initially be attracted to someone based on their look, but that really only gets you so far. Also, another thing that Pete Davidson is very much known for, he's known for being a really, like, an actual genuine nice guy. And we say we, you know, sometimes we think we want the bad guy, but we want to marry the nice guy. We want to actually be in a relationship with the nice guy. So really, you know, being that authentic person, but owning what you have, not trying to change for somebody else. I think so many people will fall into the trap of, oh, she wants to see a chick flip. Oh, chick flick. Or and he'll say, oh, yeah, I like them too, even though he doesn't really like them.
Right.
Really owning who you are, that becomes so attractive.
I have one quick last question. It's easy for somebody to meet you and know that you're a good person, right? And become attracted to you because your overall personality is fantastic. But when you're looking at somebody's dating profile, how most people meet nowadays online, how do you get that across? Like, hey, I'm nice. Like, give me a shot.
I'm not a serial killer.
Yeah, because
I mean,
people swipe left and right based on looks. Like, let's be honest. That's what it is, the initial attraction.
Yeah. You're right, totally. First of all, having good pictures that don't give off that serial killer type vibe. So showing, you know, different types of sides of you that will attract someone into your life. So say you love adventure, a picture of you skiing, maybe a picture of you skydiving, maybe a picture of you doing stand-up comedy, something that shows your personality so you can get a better glimpse into your life. But then also writing in your bio things about yourself that do help you stand out, that are kind. You can read through them and tell, like, if a person has a kinder heart or doesn't.
Cher Gottman, she's a New York City wing woman. You can visit her online at nycwingwoman.com.